Good morning, beloved. It's good to be with you this morning. And once again, for the privilege that I have to share God's wonderful word with you. Now, even though I'm still not with you in person, still we are united in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support during these extraordinary times that we've been experiencing this past few weeks or so. I decided to stay home again this week. Since today is day 9 of our quarantine, I do hope and pray that I will be able to see you next week, and that will be in person. Now, when I prepared for the message this morning, I was reminded of the hope that we have as believers, because we can get discouraged and we can lose hope so easily. And especially if we go through trials and tribulations. It doesn't matter what we face during our life. There's one thing that we can know, something that we can be hopeful of, and that is that God has a glorious future for His children. And this glorious future is described in the last book of the New Testament. So please turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, we're going to read verse 1 to 8. But before we read, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word. I pray that you will open up your word to us so that we can receive and understand, and enable me as your servant, Lord, to teach your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 8. And this is what we read. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the city, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he who said it, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, beloved, one thing that we all experience during our lifetimes, and it happens at different times in our lives sometimes more often than none, but something we will always experience in our lifetime is pain and suffering and sorrow. It's part of being human. It is part of being enslaved under the curse of sin. But, and this is the wonderful thing about our text, there is coming a time when we will be sent or be set completely free from this world and all of its pain and suffering. We will have a glorious future which awaits us. Not will have it, we have it. We have a glorious future which awaits us. Now, the Bible teaches us that God is going to make all things new. He will give us glorious bodies, and we will be living in our new heavenly home. Now, in our passage, the Apostle John tells us about this vision that he had. In verse 1, he says, Now I saw. Now I saw basically means that he had a vision. And when he saw this vision, he saw this vision of a new heaven and a new earth. But he continues and he says, For the first heaven and the first earth hath passed away. Also, there was no more sea. You know, the sea that we know now, where a large part of the earth is covered with water, that will no longer be the case. Now, in this vision, John sees a new heaven and a new earth. And why is there a new heaven and a new earth? Well, the old heaven and the old earth no longer exists. Why doesn't it exist anymore? Because it is under the curse. The new heaven and the new earth is no longer under the curse. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and this is what happens at the white throne. He says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." You see, when the earth, the cursed earth, has to face God in his wrath, then the earth is destroyed because it cannot stand against who God is. Now, we also read in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and earth also and the works of that are therein shall be burned up." He says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You see, the old heaven and the old earth will be destroyed completely. And it was Isaiah that already prophesied about the fact that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that is going to be created. Isaiah 65 verse 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." Now you must know how beautiful that is going to be, if we're not even going to remember what this heaven and this earth look like. And Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 13, he says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Alright, so our passage tells us about this new heaven and this new earth, but it also tells us about a new city. Now John describes this new city as a holy city. He calls it the New Jerusalem. The city comes down out of heaven from God, and it comes onto this new earth. John describes the city as a bride who is made ready for her husband. Now, this Jerusalem, by the way, is not the capital of Israel. Now, this new Jerusalem is the city that Abraham was looking at. And it was the city that he was looking for, the one that he wanted to be part of. And the builder and the maker of this city is God himself. Paul calls this new Jerusalem the Jerusalem that is above. And he speaks about it in Galatians chapter 4 verse 26. So we see that John had a vision of a new heaven and a new earth and of this new Jerusalem. Now, beloved, for everyone who are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and him alone, this is glorious news. This is a glorious future that we can look forward to. A new earth, a new heaven, living in a new Jerusalem. But not only did John see a vision, he actually heard a voice. Look at verse 3 of Revelation 21. Verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." So there's this voice that comes from heaven. And this voice is basically the manifestation of God's presence with his people, because he says in verse 3, the voice says, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now this voice tells us how God will minister to his people when we go to verse 4. It says that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see that? God will wipe away every tear from the eyes of his people. Wow, what a future. There shall be no more death. That too, wow, it's going to be amazing. Nor will there be sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. And let me tell you, that is a day I'm looking forward to, when there will be no more pain. And then he says, for the former things have passed away. You see, when the former things pass away and everything becomes new, there cannot be place for things in the new that used to come from the old. Everything needs to become brand spanking new. That's why there are no more tears in people's eyes. There's no death. There's no sorrow. There's no crying. There's no pain. Everything that is old has passed away. All the former things. Now verses 5 and 6 identifies the voice which comes from heaven. Listen to this. He says, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. So this voice is clearly the voice of Christ, because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he's the one who gives life. He's the one who is the water of life. Now, we read in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, and it describes the same thing. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. In verse 11 we read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now when we come back to Revelation chapter 21 verse 5, we see the omnipotence of Christ. And we see it in the words that we find there. I make all things new. You see, this voice from heaven. He is the one who can make all things new. He is the one who is able to do that. And because he is Christ. We also see the integrity of Christ in the words in verse 5. He says, when write, for these words are true and faithful. You see the integrity of Christ? The voice that speaks. But we also see in verse 5, the sovereignty of Christ. And we see it in the words, it's done. Or it is done. Pardon me. Because what Christ says he will do, he will do. He's trustworthy in every aspect. Right, so not only do we see the vision of John in our passage, we also hear about this voice from heaven. But there is something beautiful we see in our passage. And we see a warning, specifically with regards to salvation. So, read verse 6 with me, Revelation 21 verse 6. And it says, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. You see, here we find this free invitation to salvation. If anyone thirsts, Christ will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. Because nobody can earn their salvation. It is a free gift from God to those who thirst for it. Question is, how many people really do thirst for true salvation, which is in Christ and Him alone? They want all the benefits of Jesus, yes, but do they really thirst salvation? Do they really thirst to be filled with the water of life? We read in Revelation chapter 21 verse 7, it says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You see, there is an intimacy with God that John shows us here. Because he declares himself to be our God, and we are his children. That's our inheritance, beloved. That's what makes the future so glorious, is that we will have intimacy with God in the sense of being in His presence forever and ever. And this, by the way, is also the beauty of our salvation. The fact that we are going to be with God forever and ever, and He gives it to us as a free gift. Whoever thirsts, He will give of that water. And that means He will give of Himself, because He is the life-giving water. But then there's this warning in verse 8. A warning to sinners. Where we read verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns, or which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, the sinner who have not been saved and forgiven of their sin will face the second death. But I want you to be very clear. Verse 8 says to us, and he gives us a list, and this is not an exhaustive list, but this is quite a list of people that will not be able to enter God's kingdom. They will not be able to escape the second death. And he speaks about the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, those who are sexually immoral, those who are sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. People think that they can get away with sin. And Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 clearly tells us no. Nobody will get away with it. If you do not have Christ, if you do not have Christ's forgiveness, and you are cowardly, or you are an unbelieving person, or you are an abominable person, or a murderer, or sexually immoral, or a sorcerer, or idolater, or you are a liar, you'll end up in hell. You will end up in the lake of fire. You see, the sinner who have not been saved and forgiven for their sin will face second death. Our passage describes the place where they will be going. It describes it as the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Phew. See, the first death is physical death. The second death is eternal death in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Can you see the warning? And the warning is actually connected to this amazing future that God presents to His people and say, I'm going to give you a marvelous, a glorious future that awaits you. I'm going to give it to you. But sinner, your future is the lake which burns with fire and brimstone if you do not repent and turn by faith to Jesus Christ. Alright, so let me conclude. I mean, we've seen this glorious vision of John in our passage, which tells us of a glorious future that awaits us. Amazing vision of John. But we also read about this voice that came from heaven, which is Christ, and which also tells us about this glorious future that awaits us, and what He's going to do for us. And then we saw the beauty of salvation, which shows us that there is a glorious future for those who are going to be saved. Hey, what a wonderful, wonderful expectation we can have. But then the amazing thing is that God still extends a warning to the unsaved, and with the hope that they will thirst after Christ. And then they can too enjoy a glorious future which awaits God's people. We know that many, the Bible says that wide is the gate, or the road that leads to destruction. Few find the gate that leads to eternal life. So we know that many, 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 many people are going to go to hell. They are going to burn in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone because they reject Christ. They do not thirst after Christ. They don't care about the future that awaits God's people. But beloved, to you and me, for us who has received the revelation, who understands the revelation, oh, we have a glorious future which awaits us. So, if you face troubled times, if you face pain and suffering and hardship, just be reminded that we have a glorious future which awaits us. Yes, this life might be heavy, might be hard, but we have a future, and that future is a glorious future. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this glorious future that awaits us. Thank you for what you have done for us. that all of this is possible because of Christ and because of salvation that we've received freely from you. I pray that you make it alive in us, Lord, so that as we face the difficult times in life, that we will be able to look up and be reminded of our glorious, wonderful future. This we pray, Father, not because we deserve anything. We pray this and we glorify you because of your revelation to us. Go before us during this rest of this week, and may your name be glorified. Touch those who are in need of you, Father, please, whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally or spiritually. And may your name be glorified in and through each one of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. I am once again just overwhelmed by the fact that we serve such a gracious, glorious God. Wow. And what he has in store for us is just amazing. All right. So until next time, God willing, when we meet one another, hopefully next week, face to face, may the Lord be with you, may he bless you, may his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace. Bye-bye.